been part of the plan. That's what's been happening. Mother's Day happens to fall within the context of that theme. And that's why we've chosen Proverbs 31. Unfortunately, Proverbs 31 speaks about the Proverbs 31 woman. And there are many misconceived ideas about the Proverbs 31 woman. She is held up as a an impossible pattern to follow. Almost. It's an acrostic. In Proverbs 31 is the same as Psalm 119. Proverbs 31 from 10 to 21, those 11 verses, each verse in the Hebrew starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet in order. And so because it's that way, it's like Psalm 119, which does that 8 different times. It's the only 2 parts in the scriptures that actually has that. And so we can look at Proverbs 31 and see that this is a type, but it's a description. And it opens up and it says, a woman of excellence, at least my version in the Bible. I wonder if that fan can go down a bit. I'm not sure. I might just move away from it so I don't blow everything apart. In the version I'm using, it uses the word an excellent wife. Who can find her? I think the NIV says a virtuous wife. The question begs, an excellent wife, who can find? It sort of is an open question. Almost as though most men would say, can she really be found? If you read Proverbs 31, you have to wonder, can she be found? Well, we've got something that we're going to just sort of present to you that is just a fun thing about finding this excellent woman. I can say, men, is stop looking, I found her. We're even now, Susan. An excellent wife, who can find? Do you know, in our nation today, we have an identity crisis. We have women who are trying to be men. We have men trying to be women. We've got an identity crisis mainly because over the period of the last 4 generations, there is a particular history that we have in this nation and around the Western world. And that history shows a shift from 100 years ago when the men were the head of their homes, the king of their castles, and their wives were pretty much secure. Women knew what it was to be women. Ladies knew what it was to be feminine. Mothers knew what it was to be Proverbs 31 women. And over that shift throughout our history, through the history of the world wars that we've had, when the men have been away fighting and the ladies have been left home looking after everything at home, there has been an amazing shift. On the one hand, it's been a satanically inspired shift, On the other hand, God's been working to bring about his plan and his purpose, and everything that happens in history happens according to God's will. He's in control. He's in control. He's a sovereign God. And we see today, in the society that we live in today, we see a crisis of identity. And when we see that mums, wives, some of you have got wives, some of you may not have wives yet. Not all wives become mothers. Not all ladies become mothers. But every lady and every man and every human being in this room has a mother. And we have a particular impression of our mother. My mum died when she was 57 years of age, younger than me. She came to Jesus when she was 53. It was a glorious thing to see my mum come to Jesus and to see her life change so incredibly dramatically. I have memories of my mum as being a lady who was a giving lady. She was self-sacrificing. My mum would take food off of her plate and put it on my plate because I have a ravenous appetite. It's never changed, really. But as a young man, you know, just really aggressively committed to sport and all that sort of stuff and having a ravenous hunger, my mum would often just pass the food over when my dad wasn't looking. And she would always make sure that my plate was full. My mum was a lady who was a very simple lady, but she was a lady who had an incredible love. And I can remember right back, way back, as far as I can remember. And I think that the clearest memory that I have of my mum was when I got given to me under the Christmas tree one year a little red pedal car. Any of you remember the little red metal pedal cars? You used to sit in them and they had a little steering wheel and the pedals went backwards and forwards. You couldn't sort of, you know. And I saw that under that Christmas tree. And when I got in that, I can still see my mum's face. I can still see it. The joy that was in her heart, in her. They could barely afford to buy that. But it was one of the most incredible, wonderful gifts that I can ever remember receiving. And I'll never forget, indelibly imprinted in my mind, was the look on my mum's face. I dare say all of you had those sort of experiences. Some of you may not. We've worked enough with people in crisis to know that not everybody has fond memories, and some don't have any memories of their mother. Mums are special. The Proverbs 31 is written to us, and it's written in a way that we can sort of aspire, ladies, aspire to. There's something there. But I mean, what woman has her light burning all night? When the kids are sick, I suppose. You know, when the babies need feeding, when whatever happens, happens. But I sort of asked the question. If she has a light burning all night, what sort of marriage does she have? What's a sex life like? If she's a lady who's always looking for wool and for material, and it says that her arms are strong because she can pick up the spindle and the distaff and she can weave and do all of the stuff that she does, and keeping in mind also she's got servants, so when she organises her day, she organised her day to make sure that the servants were doing their task, and she even fed her servants and cared for her servants, so she's a lady of great influence. Really, she's supposed to be a king's wife. So she had a lot of assets. And not all of us have a lot of assets. Not all of us have the ability to be able to buy what she bought and do what she did and all of those things. One of the things that talks about this Proverbs 31 lady is the fact that she smiles at the future. It says that she laughs at the future. She's not afraid of what's coming. She's not afraid of what tomorrow holds. She's not afraid even of the ultimate future of death. She smiles at it. She embraces it. She is a woman that is a woman that is incredibly together. Because it's an acrostic, it sort of paints the picture of what God intended when he created Eve. It's sort of the picture of the perfect woman. It's sort of meant to deal with the identity crisis within ladies today. Not all ladies have an identity crisis, but many do. And it comes partly because of the fall and a lot to do with our culture and our immediate history. But part of the curse of the fall, back in Genesis, it tells us that the woman, that her desire, even though she'd have pain in childbirth and all that sort of stuff, her desire would be for her husband. And in the Hebrew, that reads, her desire will be to control her husband, to control her man. In other words, from the point of the fall, throughout history, part of the curse has been the curse that's in relationships. It's an identity crisis. Because not only has Adam sinned and fallen, Eve has sinned and fallen, and now they're in this identity crisis. There's a battle going on. In wedding ceremonies, we get wedding rings. We exchange rings. The question can be asked in some places, is it wedding ring or boxing ring? That's the way it's like. It's sort of like sometimes in some places, in some homes, of course not my home or your home, sometimes it's like a boxing ring. It's like a sparring match going on. Who's going to get the upper hand? Who's going to have the ascendancy? Who's going to be able to make the influence to make the change? Who's going to bring about this, the pressure? When you read this Proverbs 31 woman, she is a woman who's a giver through and through. There is nothing about this woman where she's taking. If you read it through discerningly, and we haven't got time to do it, you see that everything about this woman is that she gives, 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 gives. I love the power. My wife, when she shares about this, she says that I'm married to a Proverbs 31 man. The Proverbs 31 man sits in the gates and philosophizes and theologizes with the elders. That's great. That's what men do, by the way, ladies. Don't get upset at that. You see, when ladies get together, ladies talk about the things that affect them, the things that they're feeling. They talk about the stuff. Do you know what I mean? And that's not a bad thing. God created women that way. And if you understand that we're created in the image of God, male and female, and the woman is the feminine part of God. Don't talk about men getting in touch with their feminine side. I don't have a feminine side. I have a wife. She's my feminine side. I don't need a feminine side. Do you understand that? I don't want to be feminine. I don't want to have an identity crisis. She doesn't have to find her masculine side. She doesn't need an identity crisis. She has a man. Hey, guys. You know? And the reality of it is that part of the fall brings this crisis, and this crisis is that women are usurping what they needn't usurp, and because they're usurping what they shouldn't usurp, they've lost the integrity of who God's created them to be. And the feminine part of God, when you look through the scriptures and you study theology, you find that the Holy Spirit is always, except for two instances, every incident, every reference of the Holy Spirit is that He is in the feminine gender. The Father and the Son are the masculine, and the Holy Spirit in the Greek is always, and also in the Hebrew, always spoken of in the feminine gender. And the Holy Spirit is the feeling part of God, lives within us. So if I want to get in touch with my feminine side, I want to get in touch with the Holy Ghost. But ladies are that way. And ladies, mums, today, no matter what the crisis is that you may face, no matter how busy you've been in the life of this church over these past weeks, no matter what's coming ahead, smile at the future. It's not all terrible, gloomy, tough stuff. You know, I wish I could go to the ladies' camp and be part of a prophetic thing. Some of us think, oh, not another prophetic thing. Well, I wish that I could go because Wonder Woman's going to be there. Wherever she goes, I like to go too, you know. I mean, you know, I'm not the gorilla there that she's elbowing and all that sort of thing. Ladies, the Proverbs 31 woman is the woman that gives. And the wonderful thing about marriage It's not 50-50 give and take, it's 100% give. Relationships are 100% give. In God, everything is give. God is a giver. And everything in God is give. The amazing thing about God is that He's changing us from the curse of the fall into His image. He rescued us out of the miry clay, out of the bog, out of the pit. He rescued us and delivered us out of that muck that is our fallen human nature. And He set our feet upon the rock. He set us on Jesus. And when He set us on Jesus, and when Christ comes to live in the human heart, when He does that, the Bible says that we're made new. The old is gone, the new has come. You know, Ezekiel talks about the fact that God's going to take the heart of stone out and give us a heart of flesh. He's going to give us His heart. He places His heart in. When that happens, ladies, listen, you become in the Spirit of God. By God being in you, you become, by His nature, by what He accomplished on the cross, you become a person in whom the curse has been reversed. When Jesus came to this earth and He lived upon this earth, He was never under the curse. He wasn't born of sinful human beings. His Father, He inherited His Father. He was born of the Holy Spirit, a miracle of conception. And the Holy Ghost came upon Mary and she conceived. And Jesus inherited God's perfect, sinless nature. He never had sin. He was never under the curse. He was never subject to the creation. He was like God created Adam. That's why Paul tells us that Jesus is a second Adam. He's perfect. And so He was never under the curse that every other human being is under. So he just lived naturally. Not supernaturally. Jesus lived naturally. He lived the way every human being's meant to live. So when He came across sickness, He healed the sick. When He came across a demon possessed, He cast out the devils. He walked upon water. He stilled the storm. He opened blind eyes. He did all the stuff that He did just simply because He was never under the curse. And that's the way God created it in the beginning when He told man to subdue the earth and replenish it and have dominion and authority over it. And ladies, a part of that. Man, a part of that. And it's a commission to both of us. But the commission is a giving commission. The commission of God in the beginning was a giving commission. So that when Adam and Eve divorced themselves from God in the garden, they took control of their lives back into themselves. They said, no, we want to do it our way. And they died spiritually. The breath of God's life, that ruach that He breathed into them, was taken out of them. And they became so out of control. They were harnessed by the Spirit of God, body, soul and spirit. Now the Spirit of God's taken out of them. And so man, his soul, his mind and his will and his emotions control him. And his five senses dictate to him. He is subject to a curse, the curse that is called sin and death. Jesus reversed that. And not only did He reverse it, He gives a brand new heart to live in it. He gives a brand new heart so that women can now be Eve's again. And men can now be Adam's again. And Jesus said, the same works that I do shall you do in my name because I go to the Father. He was saying, be Adam's again. Be real men again. Be real women again. Mums, be real mums again. Dads, be real dads again. Wives, be real wives again. Husbands, be real husbands again. The curse of control is broken in the cross of Jesus. And now the curse that's broken through the cross of Christ has set the people free. Well, has it? Yes, it has. Biblically, it has. Theologically, yes, it has. Am I a new creature? Yes. Is the old gone? Yes. Have all things become new? Yes. Do I have a new heart of flesh? Yes. Am I created in the image of God? Yes. Has He given me power over the powers of darkness and over all the work of the evil one? Yes. Has He said I'll tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all of that stuff of the devil? Yes. Has He triumphed over him and made a public display of him openly? Yes. The victory of the cross is complete. Jesus says it's finished. Nothing more needs to be done. You can't add anything to it, and I can't add anything to it. No human being can. It's grace. It's a gift. God's done it. God's done it. God's done it. He's recreated us. So when I put up this funny little PowerPoint presentation, I really mean it from the depth of my heart that my wife is a Wonder Woman. She is a new creature. She is a new creation. She is a new Eve. She is a displayer of the very Spirit of the living God. That feminine side of God is in my wife. She doesn't do everything that the Proverbs 31 woman does. She does it in a different context. It's a different age. We don't do the same sorts of things. But ladies, there should be no identity crisis. And to finish in the sense of a positive here, the positive is just simply this. The curse for ladies is to control their men. The blessing of God in his created design was that he created man and gave the woman to him. And the two would know an awesome adventure together in God's created design. A thief spoiled all that. But one greater than a thief has restored all that. And the restoration isn't in heaven. That's the climax. But the restoration is here because Jesus said, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Ladies, do you have an identity crisis today? Are you still trying to control your man? Are you still trying to tell him what clothes to wear? Are you still trying to sort of motivate him and move him and change him and do all that sort of thing? Are you still trying to get him to church? I ask my wife when I get dressed in the morning, I say, "Do I look okay?" She gives me the once over, and it wouldn't really matter what I was wearing. She say, "You look great to me." That's what she means. I know that's what she means. So I take her advice if I need to change something or whatever. Because we flow together. Ladies, let go of the control. Don't still be filled with the identity crisis thing. The great security. When my wife, when we do marriage seminars, my wife says to me, her greatest security is not in our possessions or our lack of them or any of those sort of things. Her greatest security is knowing that her man hears from God. That's what she says. So I want to finish with you guys. Give. Men, give. Don't be takers. Give. Give. Lay your life down for your woman. She's laid her life down for you. She bears the stretch marks to prove it. Every time a woman gives birth to a child, she goes through a death. She's laid her life down for you, and she's exposed herself to every eye that can help her do that, and they go through. I would not want to be a woman. Thank you, Jesus. I'm happy being a man. Mind you, ladies, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you'll not give an account for what your husband did. You won't give an account for what your kids did. You won't give an account for what the church does. But you men, when you stand before God, you'll give an account to God for your own life. You'll give an account to God for your wife. He won't come to you first off, and he won't say to you, "How many good sermons did you preach? How many people did you lead to Christ?" He won't ask you that. He won't ask you how big your church is or how high the steeple is. He won't ask you any of those things. He'll first of all want to know, how did you treat your wife? I remember hearing a song about that once. Probably too old for some of you to remember, but how do you treat your wife? So when, men, you stand before God, you're going to give an account. God's going to want to know, did you give? Did you secure her? Did you make that woman to be feeling in herself treasured? Ladies, I want to ask you today, you ladies that are mums, you ladies that are married today, do you feel special? Do you feel treasured? Does your man make you feel treasured? Or does he treat you like one of the boys? And if you men treat your wives like one of the boys, she's going to do everything in her power to control you. Women rise to control because women rise to control because their men relinquish it. And if men won't lead, somebody's got to lead. Men, love your wives and give. Secure them. Make them be special. Ladies, you are special today. No matter how you have been treated now or in your past, ladies, I look at you all, eyeball to eyeball. You are special. You are special. You are created in the very image of God. You are the feminine heart of God. You are the equal to the Spirit of the living God. He lives in you. And you've got something powerful to give to your men. Our God gives. Our God serves. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to lay down my life. Our God serves us, but he is not our servant. Our God serves us, but he is not our servant. My wife serves me, but she is not my servant. I serve her, but I'm not her servant. Give! Release! Give! Choose the best! Don't settle for the curse. Don't be under the curse. Choose to live. Today, choose life. Ladies, choose life. Rise to be the Eve that God created you to be on this day. Rise and find your fulfillment. Your fulfillment is to give. To give, to give, and you'll never get to the end of your givingness, because God is a giving God. And his grace is his ever-givingness. And ladies, your grace is your ever-givingness. But of course, you'll never be able to do that if your man doesn't give to you. If your man doesn't lay down his life for you. If he doesn't wash you with his tears, the water of his tears, if he doesn't cover you and make you special, if he abuses you, if he takes advantage of you, if he doesn't fulfill you on your marriage bed, if he doesn't fulfill you in every aspect of your life, if he doesn't make you feel special. Proverbs 31, lady, is a giver. I just want to finish off by letting you guys know something about what I got. I've got 5 minutes. I just want to let you know that this is what one brave lady wrote about what it is. She was asked, what do you do? Who really are you? She said, I'm the baby feeder changer, bather, rocker, burper and hugger. I'm the listener to crying and fussing of thousands of questions. I'm the listener for the husband as well as the children about their day, their needs, their concerns, their aspirations. I'm the picker-upper of food and debris cast on the floor. Problem solver, determiner of action, and the one who gives those talks to whoever needs them. I'm the phone messenger, reminder of responsibilities. I'm the comforter, encourager, counsellor. I'm the hygienist. I'm the linguistics expert for 2-year-old dialects. I'm the trainer. I'm the teacher of everything from how to chew food to how to drive a car. I'm the assistant on school projects. I'm the questioner, the prober to promote thinking. The censor of TV, movies and books. I'm the homework helper. I'm the reader of thousands of children's books over and over and over. I'm the planner and hostess of children's birthday parties. Planner and hostess of adult dinner parties. parties, for friends, relatives, travellers, strangers, and for larger groups of our home. I'm the cook. I'm the room and board provider for someone in need, sometimes for a night, sometimes forever, it seems. I'm the central controller for getting the appliances fixed or the carpet shampooed. I'm the executioner of ants, roaches, wasps and other pests. I'm the resident historian in charge of photo albums, baby books and school reports. I'm the resident encyclopedia source for all those hard questions that seem to arise. I'm the officer of the day on call for any emergency at home or away. I'm the defroster of the freezer. I'm the food preservation expert. I'm the family secretary, confirming dinner reservations, travel accommodation. I'm the correspondent to the sick, the celebrating, or the generous. I'm the archivist of everything that must be kept. I'm the keeper and locator of birth certificates and other valuable documents. I'm the ironer of wrinkles. I'm the keeper and copier of financial documents, appointment desk for the family, visits to the doctor, the dentist, the orthodontist, the barber, and the mechanic. I'm the seeker of God, one who prays. I'm a fitness expert. I'm the front desk to keep track of each family member's daily itinerary. I'm the cleaner of the oven, the drawers, the closet, the garage, the curtains, the bedding, the windows, and even the walls. I'm the washer of every smelly and dirty thing. I'm the refinisher of furniture. I'm the hubby romantic. I'm the attentive spouse. I'm the enjoyer of those moments when nothing is happening, no one is calling, nothing demands attention. Those rare, rare moments. I'm the emergency medical technician and ambulance driver. I'm a manicurist, clipping fingernails and toenails for each young child. I'm the returner of library books and all things borrowed. I'm the chooser and purchaser of gifts, wrapped gifts for birthdays, Christmas, Father's Days, Mother's Days, wedding showers, baby showers, anniversaries, and any other event that might even remotely require a gift. I'm the mailer and stamp buyer. I'm the drop-off and pick-up. I drop off and pick up everything that needs dropping off and picking up. I'm the gardener. I'm the decorator, the attender of recitals and every sporting event imaginable. I'm the attender of school P&T meetings, chauffeur at everyone everywhere. I'm a comber of little girls' hairdos. I'm the replacer of every battery and everything that ticks, whirls or beeps. I'm the helper in the classroom and tuck shop, mandatory volunteer for everything, participator in school, interviews and committees. I'm the school class helper making things organised, more parties. I'm the chaperone of field trips and special events. I'm the leader of the Cubs, the Scouts, the Brownies, the Guides and Sunday school teacher. I'm the purchaser of most everything for the family in the home. I'm the keeper of healthy relationships with friends and every member on both sides of the family. I'm the deliverer of forgotten lunches, forgotten homework, forgotten athletic gear. I'm the attender of church, Bible studies, committee meetings, showers, weddings, music practice, women's meetings, potlucks, and just to stay active and informed. I return everything everyone buys and then decides he doesn't like, doesn't need or doesn't want. Then he decides, see. I'm the saver of lives, sometimes figuratively, sometimes literally. What does a Christian mother do all day? Men cherish her. She's a giver. She's a giver. Cherish her. Let's pray. Lord, today we give you thanks for our mums. We thank you for our wives. We thank you for the women here in this house today. We thank you, Father, that each one is special in your sight. Thank you, Lord, that each woman in this place today is the apple of your eye. She is treasured by you. She is so special to you that Jesus, you died on that cross not just to forgive her sins, but to break the curse over her life. Thank you, Lord. You ladies need to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you've broken the curse over my life. Thank you you've given me your brand new heart. Thank you that I am a type of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you've made me to be a giver. Not just giving out of duty, but giving out of the abundance of who you are. Thank you, Jesus, that you've made me as your woman today. Not to be afraid of the future, but to laugh at it. For you have provided every wonderful thing for me. To be the feminine daughter of God. expressing you as no other can. And Lord, I thank you for the men, for the husbands, the fathers, the sons. We thank you that you have also died to reverse the curse over our lives, so that we can be like Adam again, that we can be like you, Jesus, our older brother, that we can know the fullness of your love, that we can treasure our women, that we can love and give and give and give, securing them by our leadership and understanding that we give an account for you, not only for our lives, not only for our wives, but our children as well. Oh God, we take it seriously today. Thank you. Thank you. It's not an awesome burden. It's a great delight to be lovers and to be givers. Oh God, may it be this day that the husbands and the wives love each other this day like they never have before. And may it be today that the mums and the sons and the daughters love each other like they never have before. Let us give like we've never given before in every aspect of life, for the glory of Jesus and the fulfillment of our lives. Amen. Lord bless you. I think that are you closing, Ken, or am I? Okay. Lord bless you. Have a great day, mums. It's a great day. It's your day. You deserve it. You deserve this day. Have a great day. And don't forget to get all the information about the ladies' camp, whatever you need to get. And there's tea and coffee. Is there tea and coffee? There is. And also, we'd love to see you tonight.